Good morning and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Here are our assignments. What we realize is that the suffering in any content area is caused by the karma, not the content. However, we're conditioned to frame it around the content. Choose a behavior change that addresses the karmic bamboozle, not the content issue. Make sure you choose something that is within the focus for the month and can be practiced for a week. Make a commitment poster that states your behavior change. Make a recording that, one, refutes the self-hating messages, and two, replaces the conditioned conversation with what you choose instead. On Saturday, beginning today, your daily practice will be to, one, start your day by listening to your recording from day 20, and two, practice your behavior change. Three, record what you notice at the end of the day. And on Sunday, do your daily practice, whether you feel like it or not. Practice ignoring any voice of resistance, especially I don't want to and I don't feel like it.
Big
All
fun.
Right. Mm-hmm. Here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, this is Andrea.
Hello, Andrea.
Hi. So I guess what I'm looking at is my hectic schedule and busyness, and what my commitment is to get up earlier than usual for Monday to Friday of this week, and also to set my watch to go off at variable times during the day as a reminder to take a deep breath and focus on peace.
Uh-huh.
And I have my commitment poster in front of me. And today was the first day of getting up early, earlier than usual. I was able to do it. I haven't noticed a huge amount of resistance. What I have been noticing is just this, I guess the observation is that I have a bunch of things that I want to do, and there's a belief that I need to do all of them every day, and I've been seeing a lot around that. And
you mean things that would take care of you rather than busyness things?
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like, for example, meditation, working out, recording and listening, you know, doing the retreat, and, you know, and then exercises, these other exercises that I do. So basically the belief is I have to do all of those things that take care of me every day.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I'm kind of questioning that as well, whether that's really the case.
Mm-hmm. And so since you're questioning it, that belief comes up. So it's a mm-hmm. belief. You've seen the belief, and you've seen how that interferes with mm-hmm. what you want to do.
Yeah.
So perhaps rather than thinking about it, which would put it squarely back into conditioned mind's purview, how about if you address it? So you exercise, you do physical exercise on 3 days a week.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you record and listen first thing in the morning, and then you meditate on 4 days a week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's definitely a possibility. I mean, I think that what I did this week to address it is getting up a half hour earlier and seeing what happens. But, maybe next week I could try what you said.
Yeah, or isn't today Monday?
Yes.
That leaves a lot of the week.
Yeah, yeah. That's true. So I suppose I could do both. I could get up earlier and commit to just doing, you know, not doing all of these things every day.
That's right. And if you if you're getting up a half hour earlier, you could certainly fill that time with recording and listening and meditation.
Right.
Which leaves you then only one other addition, which is exercising 3 or 4 days a week, whatever you come up with.
Right, right. Yeah,
isn't that a great
yeah.
little problem solver?
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's just so funny because, you know, I've been just watching myself throughout this whole month, and what's been coming up is just this belief that I'm always extremely stressed out and that there's never enough time and I'm always, you know, feeling like I'm on a treadmill. But just looking at this and getting up earlier on the weekend as well, what I found was there was actually some downtime, and I was like, wow, wait a second, this isn't...
That's right.
Yeah.
So what you're seeing is what happens when you look at yourself through conditioned mind, rather than looking at conditioned mind as it assesses you. That's a huge difference. If we're looking to conditioned mind, if we're looking through conditioned mind, we're always going to come to the same conclusions because it's a program, right?
Right. Yeah.
If
yeah.
you step back and you watch that program, now you're in a position to have the experience that you had, which is, well, that doesn't actually seem to be true, and it's not true. The only reason that we believe it is that we're identified with what believes it, and we're looking through the belief system.
Right. Right.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let me know, huh?
Yeah, I will. I mean, I just think it's an amazing thing that I have this commitment poster right in front of me and that I was able to actually do it and, you know, do these exercises.
Yes. Yes, which is not something that you're going to get to enjoy if you're looking through conditioned mind.
Right.
It's
going to
take
right.
it away from you, and it's going to turn it back into a problem, and the story is going to be failure, and what it's saying is really, really real, and you might as well just give up.
Yeah, well, it's either going to say that I can't do it or else that this is another thing to the list to make me stressed out. So.
And the only thing ever making us stressed out is conditioned mind.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Have fun.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, okay. I will.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Andrea. It's so true, right, Jerry, that if the belief system does not include any other possibilities, we can't see it.
That's right.
And then when the possibility becomes available, we're still sort of unsure of its ability to address the belief because it doesn't exist in the belief system. We have to watch ourselves make the movement out of that belief system to embrace the possibility.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes, of course, the easiest way to do that is just to do it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Because if we take the time to think about it, we're going to go right back into conditioned mind, and conditioned mind is going to say, "Well, no, that I that's not that."
Yeah. All right. Here's our next caller. We're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Ashwini. It's Loren in Connecticut.
Well, hello, Loren.
Hi. Good to be with you. I've been here following along, but it's, of course, very different to join the queue today.
Uh-huh. Well, I think I was psychically encouraging you because you've dropped into my conscious awareness several times since this started. So never mind. It wasn't.
Oh, great. And now you know I'm here.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And what I've been appreciating is, you know, the archive that gets made of of the assignments and the recordings, you know, because I'm going along with the retreat, but I often find that I have to, you know, that conditioning is creating this sense of urgency and have I figured it out and am I on the right assignment and I've got to go on to the next one and going, like, I've seen that I get so much more when I go back a few days and look at things again and it's just so lovely to be, to then get to hear it again the second time and see how it reflects where I got to on my own, but I hadn't even really heard it in the same way the first time. So I just feel like I get to experience like the community of being with Sangha again as I really let myself slow down and have the experience a second or even third time.
Mm-hmm. So the bottom line encouragement for all of us is get out of ego's urgency. Right? Because that urgency really does accomplish what you've laid out. We're not present.
Yeah.
Right? It's the whatever that rabbit's name is. You know, I'm late that we started off with.
Yeah.
Right? It's, you know, I can't do two things at the same time. I can't be giving attention to urgency and actually be present to what's going on.
Yes, and the other thing that it does is totally obscure the authentic why for why I even signed up for this retreat.
Yes.
As if, like, you know, I signed up to be a good student and get whatever nugget that I was supposed to get so I can not be the wrong person anymore, other than, like, no, I could do a lot of things with my life, but I pick to look at these things with this group of people because I enjoy it and it helps me have the rest of my life as well more. And so it just obscures the authentic why for why I even signed up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it makes the why about it.
Yes.
Yeah. Right? It wants to turn everything into what reinforces ego. And now, the other piece of it that is so important, I would say, for all of us, is that it occurred to you to go back.
Yeah.
Which is, when I said a minute ago, you know, I don't know how I said it, but it just do it. Right? When we get information, just do it. Not noodle about it. And that's what you did. It dropped in for you to do this process of going back over it and listening to it again. And you did it.
Yeah.
And that's how we reap the benefits of presence.
Yes. And so what I did this weekend is I kept going back to Friday's assignment every day because I was getting the sense of that there was more in it for me. And, of course, the voices were trying to get in there, like, you know, that you can't move on, you can't do the next thing. But it was like, no, I want, this seems like a really critical place in making this commitment, and I really want to be with that. And it took the whole weekend of going through it again and again to get really clear that what I want my commitment to be is to always be willing to, when I find myself not in well-being, to take a step in the direction of being with what's here for me. And it ended up being, that sounds like a little bit grayer than I thought my commitment would be, which would be like to meditate every day or do yoga and meditation and record and listen every day, which I do those things most every day anyway.
And call all the people that you should be calling.
Oh my God, how did you know that was on the list? Yes, and exactly. And you haven't called your father this week, and right, so many things.
Uh-huh.
But, it was helpful to see that it really has been supportive for me to record and listen daily and do a very short yoga and meditation, but that I didn't want that to be the commitment because it does seem to miss the point of
yes.
that the underlying point is not that I want to take whatever step is necessary to move this person in the direction of being here and well-being.
Yes, yes, yes. So your commitment is to choose presence in a very specific way, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's actually conditioned mind would want to portray that as kind of fuzzy some way. You know, it's not – you know, you don't know that at 8 a.m. you're going to be on the yoga mat. And
exactly. That, like, excuse me, presence, what's that?
Yeah, exactly. But right. This one, here's my prediction for this one. It's going to open you up to the kind of guidance that you are now experiencing even more. And in that way, that it's going to drop in for you to check in, and you're going to do it, and you're going to take that step. And so what it's really a huge commitment, because what you're saying is, I am open to being guided. I'm going to pay attention. And when I am guided, I'm going to do it. I'm going to turn attention to this here now.
Yes. Yeah. And I feel so grateful for being at the point in practice where I know that it's not a fuzzy thing. Like, I know that it's actually a practice. But the only way I know that I'm not doing it all the times it tells me I'm not is because I actually have done it and lived it many times.
Well, Lorraine, the best part about that is every voice that says you're not doing it is a reminder to do it. I'm not doing it. Oh, you're right. Okay.
You're right.
I'm doing it.
I'm doing it now.
Yeah. We can't lose at that point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So, all right. Thank you very much.
You are so welcome. Thank you. Go happy.
Go happy.
Thanks, Lorraine. What I was appreciating about that, Cherry, is exactly that process of guidance, that there is, with practice, there is an intuition that we begin to trust and be confident in that tells us, okay, go back and read the assignment again. It's important in order for us to find the kernel that is actually going to make the difference for us.
Uh-huh.
And we do it. Or
and we do
go
it.
Back and... Yes, we go back and we do it. And that, yes, there is a movement towards well-being, and that's the intuition I'm going to trust. That's the movement of exploration for me, and I'm going to trust that instead of listening to the voice that says, oh, no, well, that's too fuzzy. Mm-hmm. That part of this process is actually sort of improving our ability to tune into being present.
Yes, the whole process is, isn't it?
Yes.
And it's learning to turn our attention away from conditioned mind. Because when we get into that subtle kind of guidance to be present, to being guided, none of that is going to happen in conditioned mind. Now we're in the process of listening for that still small voice.
Yeah. And confident that we can hear it.
Yes. Yes, maybe not now, maybe not in every moment, but if I keep practicing.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
This is Jennifer from Whidbey Island, Washington.
Well, hello, Jennifer.
Hello. I had to do a going over and over and over many times on this particular set of assignments, and I did keep uncovering, you know, the layers. It was great. And my commitment had to do with being with myself during unpleasant symptoms and not abandoning ship. And what I uncovered, the underlying belief was that I was inadequate to that circumstance. I couldn't stand it. It was intolerable. And and then when I, it kind of, the mentor kind of switched it to, you know, it's not the circumstance. You know, what you are adequate to is being there with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the thing. And then I realized another time after I made another pass at it was, you know, conditioning is inadequate to being here with myself.
Oh, yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. And doesn't want to, right?
Oh, so doesn't
want to.
Bail
out on her at the first opportunity.
Exactly.
Doesn't care a thing about her.
Let her
suffer. That's fine. Great. More for me to chew on with that.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's interesting.
I would bet that within that, let's see how to say this. Part of what you had going for you is you knew it wasn't true.
Yeah.
Because you have been with yourself through it all.
I know. That was the other thing. I was like, hello, you have been there. the whole time.
Right. And here I am. So,
and here we are.
Yeah.
What a big fat liar you are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But,
so I.
But it's really different to be there for it and see it so clearly, isn't it? I mean, we could say this intellectually, but to have that moment of, wait a minute, when the lights come on is a whole different thing.
I know. It's very reassuring. I can have these reassuring recordings about, you know, you've been through this before, and you've been through it under even worse circumstances with symptoms,
mm-hmm.
and you can do it again, and here's what you're adequate to, being with yourself. You don't have to worry about, you know, what those, you don't have to go fix that thing. That was the other thing is conditioning had it. If you can't fix this health condition, that means you're inadequate. And I just gave that.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. Wow. That is huge, isn't it? I mean, that the application for that everywhere, all the time, in everybody's life. Well, if you can't control life, then there's something wrong with you.
Exactly. Exactly. If you can't control it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that and that was like, oh, you know, that doesn't mean that. Here's what we're adequate to, being present with ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Which is all we've ever got, right? I mean, if we when we look around the world, somebody just told me the other day the statistic on how many people die around the world every day. It was some, you know, gargantuan number.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, if you follow the news at all, grisly, horrible things are happening to people all over the world. And not just people, everything on the planet, all the time.
Okay.
So
all the time.
Controlling any of it, that doesn't seem to be it. But being with oneself, being with oneself through it all, that's the choice we have.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's what we can do.
Yeah. It's very encouraging.
It really is, because it's manageable. I mean, you know how to do it, and it's just a matter of practice. And it's joyful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Fabulous.
Oh, that's so good. Oh, I love it. Thank you, Jennifer.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jennifer. It seems so characteristic of conditioning that it would point us to what we're not able to do and then tell us that we are inadequate as a consequence of that, which is such a deflection from what we are able to do, which we can focus on and do. That makes all the difference.
Yes. When you said that, I was aware of, so in any given moment, in any split second of life, what is happening? If we were just to divide it up into ego's dualities, what's happening on the good side so far outweighs that one thing ego is going to point at to say, see, that's not working. See, that's not going. See, you're not doing that. See, that one thing out of billions and billions and billions and billions.
Mm-hmm.
It's so silly. And yet, till we see it, we fall for it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think we have time for one more caller, Sherry. So here we go. Next caller, you're now live on the air.
Right.
Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Sandy in Berkeley.
Hello, Sandy.
Hi. I've been working this month with exercise, and when I looked at like the most intense self-hating message, it was like, you know, you're fat and disgusting, but if you work really, really hard, you might get thin enough that somebody might love you. And so the underlying desire is this sense to feel loved, nurtured, and supported. And so that's what I have on my commitment poster on my fridge here that I'm looking at. It's been fun working with that, because there's this voice that wants to say at the end of the day when I do my recording, you know, I'm like, I'm never loved, nurtured, and supported. That never happens for me. But then when I check in, a lot of times at the end of the day, I can remember like positive interactions with other people. And then even times that the mentor, whether like in recording and listening formally or just like in the middle of a tough time, like when the mentor kind of had my back and I felt loved.
Can you see how loved you are? that you are doing this?
Hmm. Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. When you look around at the world, and again, and now I'm not talking about people who are starving to death in refugee camps. I'm talking about probably people you go to work with and probably people who live in your neighborhood and probably people in your family. How many people know that that the way out of their life experience, their suffering, is something that they have available to them?
Yeah. Yeah, it's
not many.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know it. So I would suggest you are among the very blessed.
Yeah, it's almost like there is a sense of, it's almost like I don't even quite have to consciously effort to make a change for good. It's like as I do this practice, like I just get to enjoy more and more good.
That's exactly right. You get to recognize more and more good, right? All that was presented to you has been presented to you as not good by the negative voices in the head. And what you're seeing is, well, actually, the truth of the matter is, I live in goodness. Oh, better than that. Goodness is what's animating me.
Yes. And, like, when it comes to even just, like, the exercise part, it's like the good is what animates, and, like, the good has it, or life has its, like, it's like the body wants to move, and if I get out of the way, if ego gets, if I can, like,
Yep. Not give attention to ego, then the body knows what it wants to be strong and healthy and fit. Not so that it will be loved by somebody else, but because that's its experience of love.
Yes, and what I'm drawn to are things like stretching more or yoga or just like things that help it feel good to inhabit a body, and I still do the same kind of like what part of me wants to call like real exercise, but I don't follow ego's demand for like my perfect bikini body workout plan.
That's exactly right, because ego doesn't have a body. And it really doesn't care about a bikini. So you might as well just enjoy the body that you have and help that body to enjoy itself and to live in well-being and health. Right? You can be that steward.
Yes. Care for it. I'm looking at a house plant here. It's like care for it like I care for a plant, like what's best for it.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, this is very exciting, isn't it?
Yeah, it's wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sandy.
Thanks, Sandy. And Terry, that brings us to the end of another fabulous show and our assignment for today. Do your daily practice, being on the lookout for any subtle messages of self-hate. Use any negative message as a reminder to redirect attention to what is true about you. According to
you. Mm-hmm. That's a big one. All right. Well, thank you, Ashwini. And thank you, everybody.
So happy.
So happy.
We'll see you tomorrow.
Okay. Bye-bye.